was saying the APR to deal with members of parliament to an extent confused them. You must do one of two things. Either give them a bulky document or give them a document so late so that you have that member of parliament literally confused as to where to start. We've always been talking about this. Now, the predicament that one has is that Nkanye is. But I would imagine, even in your private members' area, documents are delivered a week now, from at least. Am I correct, Nkanye?
Yeah, for sure.
So the same practice applies here as well. These are all committees of parliament. They just define names. The other area that I thought I might wish to, some members are free to comment on any of these remarks. The other area that I thought I should make a comment on is number four on our agenda. Also, when we met last time, we did agree that we should allow the department to come before us on the meat inspection. It was our decision in the meeting. I think we agreed on the afternoon, am I right? For tomorrow? Today? For the meat inspection? Just as tomorrow? It's today, afternoon, today. In addition to today's program, there shouldn't be any crime still. That's precisely because the number four item, which I just wanted to make a comment on, is an item that we are not ready for. Nkanyiso is saying who David has the names and so on and so forth. And then I'm responding to him and saying, for as long as we don't have the names with us, we don't have the names. Maybe just very briefly on the item related to the nomination for ARC. Granted, you might be, I think, the board term ends in May, if I'm not mistaken. The term of the board ends in May. You are receiving these names only now. And I must also mention that it is out of order. So we're not going to entertain this idea. That's my view, members. Now, the issue for me on this nomination of the ARC board talks to a few areas that prepare you as a member of parliament. Welcome, Mr. Bamba. The first area is the legislative requirement, a section that deals with our role specifically. Granted, the legislation is still outdated in terms times can a board member sit in that board? So that we are guided in this process. So that we are also able to say, although that we have, another challenge that we have, Mr. Ntombela, DG, that we also do recommend some of these names here. And that's the end of it all. We have no measurement of establishing whether or not these members of the board are effective or not. We have absolutely no such measurement for us to be able to say these are the ones that are eligible in terms of their own term, having served one or two terms. Whether we shall have been, you know, rubber stamping on the right person who shall have been serving so well, on a wrong person who shall not have been serving so well, we have no such mechanism. Which again borders on the question as to what then becomes our role in this process, save for a legislative requirement that the parliament has to one Susana Kuma. In the my what is Yam Susana Kuma? So that is the comment I really wanted to make related to the ARC and board nomination, that a role we have to play. And we're scheduled this for today's session. And I'm making all of these comments informed by the fact that, you know, since last week as well, we've been calling for such information. And it has not been forthcoming at all. And at best, we have thought that we would receive a correspondence. Once again, the issue has been about us being guided. At least that correspondence that could have had those details. We are expecting you, Member of Parliament, to appoint or to nominate, that's the correct word, or recommend. That's the role that has really, you know, takes us to this. Closer to the score. Okay, so I just thought part of the comments before we go to, you know, apologies and the actual agenda itself, we should just have those few remarks. If members have anything to say. In every department, in every office, we find out, and we're not
spying on the department, we must make sure that our oversight role is played, that we know what's going on, that we have the information, and we are on top of what we need to do. So that when we get a document from the department, we don't sit there like Papa Chaya and just say, yeah, 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 we agree. We can engage in a discussion. So Chief, really, I have to plead with the department and our staff to make sure that we get the document in time so that we have enough time to read through it and to make a proper discussion out of this. And it's not to spy and to be negative, it's to be of assistance, to help, to guide, and to help the department to move forward, Chief. Thank you.
Well, nominated each of those individuals from the last, I think that would be helpful to the committee before the end of this week. It should be quite easy to get that information. And again, as part of the ARC report, I think twice, to they present their plans and then come and report their performance. And all of the other employees. I think the committee may as well say to them that when they come here, they need to maybe a slide or two on the, you know, the on the council or on the board. You know, I don't know how they can be done, but I think it can happen. You can ask them to say, give a breakdown of who is the chair, who is the deputy chair. You know, that can be done like that. And then on the issue of, we know that each SOC has got a founding legislation which is an act of, each of them are act of parliament. And what I think we may do for the committee is to take them through those pieces of legislation, what is the requirement of each legislation, because they differ. You know, who nominates who and so on and so on. You can even come with the CEOs of the of those SOEs, or we can come with the, you know, the actual board members themselves, but it would be up to the committee to decide what we can do. Yeah, I think those are just my comments on this matter. Mr. Songhavi? This request originates from one of the sessions we had in Parliament last year. So this is taking an instruction from the Portfolio Committee forward. Dr. Sommer, how much time do you need?
Documentary. action must be independent from the act of force. But that act has actually not defined what we mean by the independence. And therefore, we have then gone to pull from the definition of the World Health Organization, which describes the technical independence as the ability to exercise, perform with due diligence, ethically and socially, and free from any financial, political, and otherwise pressures. What is the situation then in South Africa? When the Meat Safety Act was introduced, the poultry was given a waiver because they already had a lot of stuff that was doing in-house meat inspection, and those ones were then exempted in the requirements of independence, but they still have to do the meat inspection. And then in the limited areas, the meat inspection is being offered by provincial staff under the authority of provincial executive officer. And until recently, and that was last year, there were still some other clause in which the staff from the national office was actually doing the meat inspection. But the bulk of the meat inspection is offered by the private sector, and these private entities essentially employ meat inspectors, deploy the meat inspectors as abattoirs, and then the abattoir will pay the service provider, and then the service provider in turn will pay the meat inspector. I think it's almost similar to the concept of the labor quotas. The meat inspection personnel that are at the abattoir, they oversee and approve each carcass that is being processed there. Although the government visits regularly into those places, but the government does not stay full-time at the abattoir on a daily basis, except for those abattoirs which are the export abattoirs, specifically catering for the EU market, in which it is the EU requirement that there must be a resident in the catering area. All others are then visited, but the full-time person who is there is employed by the private sector is government later. Other than the concerns over the labor practice, the process, we are of the view that it should be working very well if it was not being sabotaged by the industry, in the sense that we've got the highly qualified meat inspector who has got a professional qualification as well as statutory responsibilities with their professional counsel who is doing that. I'll just explain now what's the problem. The key challenge that these people face is that on a daily basis when they are exercising their work on the floor, there are some reports, this is not in all other reports, but in some of the other reports where a pressure is being placed on this individual to pass the product that he is uncomfortable with. And all those things are just based on the fact that then the abattoir may have influence in him retaining his job. The second challenge that exists then are the issues related to poor remunerations. I think we will ask later in the second part of this presentation to Alpha with that. But the poor remuneration implies that at this stage now there are other parts where a meat inspector is recruited on the day that he gets the result that he has completed the course. The following day he is placed at an abattoir, but because the salaries are so low, he or she is only there for 4 months while he is getting a better job. And we are now losing the experienced personnel and the experienced people. The current model as we have, and this is now through the private service provider, is that it is not affordable to fit a full-time person from the perspective of small abattoirs, you know, to the rural. The ones that don't slaughter every day, the ones that don't do high volumes. And then there is a general concern that the meat inspection is not standardized throughout the country. The government's capacity to provide this oversight is limited in certain provinces, and the situation differs from province to province, but these matters are related to human resource challenges. And there is also a concern that the provinces that do oversight, they differ in the way in which they enforce the legislation. There is also a challenge, honorable members, that we also, from our senior management and our senior politicians, have a challenge in understanding the aspects and the importance of the mixed safety aspects. And in fact, that we've got an HOD who goes to an abattoir rating scheme to pronounce on the award, but he or she goes there and say that she doesn't understand this because she always eat meat and didn't go through this process and she's been healthy and so on. So these are the challenges that we actually get. We established an intergovernmental consultative process to look at this matter, and one of the things that came out was that the meat inspection is an important component that guarantees the meat to the consumer. We took note of the changes that happened since 92 where systems were dismantled, and this function was taken to the private sector, while the Act in 2000 brought the function back to the minister, but that has actually not been fully realized. The current private sector then has had some challenges in terms of implementing, in particular, the independence, technical independence and impartiality. And based on that, we offer you that even though the system would have worked very well if there was this, not this pressure on technical independence on the meat inspectors. And the recommendations then from the consultation process was that the previous suggestion that suggested that this function must be done by an industry created assignment was not going to be different from the current situation. In other words, as long as you privatize this function fully, you will have this pressure being exerted on the people who are at hand. And therefore, we believe that the entire concept of taking these private functions completely out of government was actually not a wise idea at the time. As such, our proposal then is that the capacity must be re-established within government to render and manage meat inspection service as prescribed in the Act, and the abattoir must perform, must buy, must pay for these services. However, we consider that because of the financial implications that this will have, we propose that this be exerted over time. This, honorable members, then, is what is contained in our document that we gazetted on the 4th of January. This is then the document that we took through our stakeholders. I'm going to DG then, Dr. Molefe, to then take us through the presentation, just summarize these key issues in this, in this document.
Chairperson, and morning to honorable members, my colleagues from the department, and members of the VPH committee that have accompanied us to this presentation. Maybe I should wait for the copies to be distributed. And those some of the meat inspectors, the VPH community in agriculture, they are attending. I mean, in the picture. Oh no, this is a Mpumalanga public consultation that we held last week. Yeah, so we are responding to something that's changing. Now we're just waiting for the copies to be distributed. Who is attending? Oh,
members of the Veterinary Public Health Community that are attending this meeting. Therefore, all answers, all inputs, all members in the community of Veterinary Public Health are here to understand what Parliament is saying about the whole process of inspection.
Well, welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll go through quickly the technical presentation. And the assumption that we have is that members have perused through the document that was gazetted in January. And so I'll just highlight the critical points that out of that presentation. At the beginning, the work group that I'm chairing was established in October 2011. In Pretoria, and the intergovernmental consultative process was started at a point and it concluded in October 2011. And after that, unfortunately, my presentation follows up a presentation that was supposed to be by the acting DDG, which is not present, so I'll just cover some of the aspects that are not here. But then what happened after that, we then came to Parliament. And then we were mandated to then do more work on meat inspection. And as a result of that, we then also went back to consult with the public, which started on the 29th of January until the 20th of February last week. So we went through all the 9 provinces consulting members of the industry, communities, and everybody who could participate in those meetings. And this is culminating in the presentation to Parliament today. Now, the work group was specifically established in order to consult and present the report with a proposal for consideration by the minister. And in all the meetings that we have held, the meetings of government employees that we held in the first consultation and the meetings that we held in January, February, the industry was invited to participate in all the meetings. And the idea being that they had presented an alternative on how to do meat inspection, and therefore we wanted them to tabulate it in order to foster full understanding as well as the merit of their presentation to the community and to the Veterinary Public Health, to government, so that when we make decisions, people have seen both sides, have had both sides as to what is the merit of their proposal. What we did is we looked at more than 50 countries, you know, around the world to see how they are doing their work, their meat inspection. And we visited or interacted with countries ranging from our neighboring countries, Botswana, Namibia, Zimbabwe, going to the Caribbean countries, our trading partners, Brazil, China, you can see them, Russia are there. But we also then visited the first world, or we met or we discussed with the first world countries like European countries, the US, Australia, New Zealand. And one thing out of that was very important is that in all the countries that we went to or that we visited, that we interacted with, government handles meat inspection. In all of them, we actually still have to find a country that does it different. But they do it in different ways. Some countries hire their own meat inspection. They are part of the public service. And in other countries, it's done through an agency of government, or sort of a parastatal of government. And those are completely owned by government, so there's not necessarily private sector involved in there. But then there's an option elsewhere, like in Australia and the UK, and even New Zealand, where private service providers are allowed to offer meat inspection. But one thing that is very important is that in those establishments where service provider or the private industry is allowed to perform meat inspection, there's a full-time government employee in that plant who's then monitoring what they are doing. And at the end of the day, there is a person who gives a thumbs up on the product or condemns the product. And in those establishments, it's actually the state veterinarian. They have a full-time state veterinarian on site who then, you know, do that. So basically, there's always a government person when there's slaughtering going on in all countries, that we have looked at. And like we are saying, no country to date has less meeting inspection to the private sector. And we have challenged anybody in our meetings that if you know such a country, please send it to us and then we investigate whether that works or not. And we haven't really found any country that does it differently. Now, after the consultations that have started all the way back in 2008 on meat inspection, six options came through. The first one is government taking over meat inspection through central appointment. Pretoria will then be employing everybody. And then also another option where government does it, but employment or appointments are at provincial level. So there will be nine different provinces that will be employing these people. And you also have an option of a state-owned enterprise, assignee, which could be a single assignee or multiple assignees, or a combination of government and assignee or assignees handling this list. So I'll quickly then go through the recommended option that we have as government. The other options have been detailed in the gazetted document, so we're not going to then go through in details over those. But in this case, as you can see, you will have the NEO or the National Executive Officer, which is Pretoria, then employing all meat inspectors, and then the meat inspectors will then be working at our class. And in this case, you then have one central government admin support, but then it will have regional offices across the country because this is where the service is being provided. And then you still have a role to be played by provinces or provincial executive officers, in which case they will continue monitoring the abattoirs. But at the same time, they will also be monitoring the performance of meat inspection by the people who will be doing meat inspection. The advantages that we see of this model, of this option, is that there will be full government control of the service, because then it will be government that will be employing all these people. And also there will be uniform standards of meat inspection at all our tours, because then you'll have one set of directives from the head office on how to perform meat inspection. Instead of having nine different ways of doing things, there will be one directive on how to do it. And then a critical thing that, you know, Dr. Songare talked about, job instability. Now in this case, then these people will have, you know, the guarantee of their jobs, and that you get job stability for inspectors and examiners. And as a result, people want to make meat inspection a profession. As it is now, people become meat inspectors because they are waiting for a job somewhere. And then you get, you know, within a year, people are going and there's no retention of experience. And then you end up with abattoirs that have people who qualified last week and are there to then inspect meat, you know, to be consumed, and they are not sure, they don't even have supervisors, because there's no supervisor, there's no experienced person in that particular enterprise. And the other point is that inspectors and examiners will then be free to make professional decisions without fear of dismissal, because at the moment they are terrified of abattoir owners, in most abattoirs, and we are not saying all abattoirs, but we are saying in most abattoirs, these people, when they are training on, when they are doing meat inspection, they are, you know, their mind is on, will I still have my job tomorrow? Instead of, do I have to make a professional decision on this? Because when they make a decision, they are thinking of, maybe I should make a mistake based on my professional judgment, and then I'm fired tomorrow. And as a result, I lose my job. So those things are in their minds, and it's impacting on how they perform their trade. But at the same time, government will be able to support our class in rural communities, because this will be a government entity, so we'll be able to go to the furthest part of the country. There are areas where it's not financially viable for a service provider to go to deep in the rural communities, deep in the farming communities, and we believe only government can be able to service those people. Service providers that are privately owned will want to make money out of there, or break even at least. But government is, the focus is not always on breaking even, it's about service delivery. And we believe this is the best way to do it. And at the same time, government tools to address unemployment, this is a possible consequence. Like this area that I'm mentioning, deep in the rural communities, obviously you can have different ways of doing it. You can even employ or train community members in those communities to be meat inspectors. And therefore, they will be readily available when the community we think we can reach the fairest, you know, areas in, you know, in South Africa to offer professionals. Well, there will be some disadvantages, and one of the advantages that we see is socio-political risk that may come with priorities of government, because sometimes government can say, look, maybe inspection may not necessarily be a priority. Dr. Sogara mentioned one HOD who had a different view of this, and this is a possible, you know, some of the things that we are talking about. But then we believe that if we place this at national, therefore it will be a national priority, and therefore you don't leave it to nine provinces to determine how they want to do it and where they want to do it or not. So it will be just one minister who will say do it or don't do it. So it's just one approach across the country. So but that risk is there. There's also perceived long turnaround time in government. We people complain about it takes 2 years to hire a person in government. Now the problem with this meat inspection is that when a person doesn't come to work today, within an hour they need a replacement. It has to be done quickly so that the business can continue. Obviously, they cannot wait for a whole year to employ somebody. And the, you know, the ways of mitigating against this is to then have temporary appointments, which we are told that is possible in government. The costing quickly on this. We see that there will be cost implications for a state and a private sector. But the major cost driver, based on our consultation, is related to the salaries. And this is a critical aspect that we have, you know, we want honorable members to look at as well. Now, if you look at bullet three, that's one of the most important things. Entry-level salaries of meat inspectors in existing service providers, and these people have three-year qualification, is less than a level one public service salary. If you look at the GPSA website, the salary that these people are earning with a three-year qualification is less than what a cleaner in government is earning. And therefore, that's something that we believe needs to be addressed. Whether we retain the existing service provider or whatever model that will come up at the end, salaries have to be addressed. And it's very critical. The industry has also acknowledged that these salaries are low, and as a result, they need to do something on that. Now, the other aspect of the costing model is complicated due to the limited real-time information that we have on the cost. We have asked industry to give us how much it's costing them, and we are not getting that information. And therefore, we don't know how much the shortfall will be. We have recommended a model that costs X, but we are not sure as to how much is being generated at the moment, and therefore we are not sure whether the shortfall is 40 or 60 million, and we think it is about 40 to 90 million, but we need industry to come on board and then tell us exactly how much they are spending, and this is what our model requires, and therefore the shortfall is this much, and then we can discuss who will then meet that shortfall. Now the findings from these consultations, province were of the view that the existing system doesn't work, and therefore government was the best suited provider of meat inspection to ensure technical independence. However, it is acknowledged that the industry has gone some way to attempt to implement independence. Therefore, we are not saying government and the industry hasn't done anything. They have done something. But and therefore, the proposals that have been coming around is that the present system shall not be eradicated. However, it shall be reviewed to possibly incorporate. In the final proposal, we must see a way that we can use experience that is already there in industry. Now, in a number of inputs, the industry stakeholders seem to suggest that a complete government takeover is not advisable, as I've just said, but a system where government then becomes more visible and enforce or oversee what is actually happening. And then I'll quickly show you phase one as to this is basically what people are saying that it should be what we need to go with. The industry expressed that any system that adds extra cost to individual hours will not be supported, in that the industry cannot afford extra costs. But as I said, we'll have to determine whether that cost as it is now, is it because of people being paid poorly, or is it a true cost that is there that we can then say whatever is the difference is a shortfall that we can address. And we have seen rural and small abattoirs present in meetings that we had, they supported, you know, government to take over meat inspection. Here is phase one. In phase one, as it's detailed in the document that was presented, we are thinking that we've broken this into three phases. The first one is to develop government capacity. And then the next thing is to take over meat inspection in small abattoirs or struggling abattoirs, rural abattoirs, infrequently slaughtering abattoirs. Then we take over in the first phase. And then in the busy abattoirs, we retain the service provider that are there. But then we place a full-time government employee in each one of those. So in a way, it would be a dual system whereby the service providers are existing, but as well as government person being there. As I've explained, that is a model that is happening in Australia, New Zealand, and UK. So that's a model that you know people are thinking that may be a feasible model. Meat inspection must be regarded as a public good, and as a result, we believe that government must also come on board in terms of you know meeting, not necessarily meeting the whole shortfall, because that we still have to be discussed, but then also contributing some, you know, to the corpus to make this possible. The complete privatization in which government absorbed itself from the responsibility of meat inspection as a public good and constitutional mandate was ill-conceived, and this came by the Abattoir Hygiene Act, and, you know, hopefully we'll be able to reverse that, and we can have eyes, you know, on all meat that is produced in the country. The department is still analyzing input, and next week we're also having a meeting with the Department of Health, the HP, CSA, and Correctional Services, because Correctional Services have a lot of abattoirs, you know, and there are other government abattoirs, municipal abattoirs. We'll have to discuss them as to how then do we do it, because those are government, you know, abattoirs, whether we handle them differently or we handle them the same. Department of Health, you may remember last year, honorable members, you know, emphasize on a point of control even beyond the abattoir, in butcheries, you know, pay points and all those areas. Even though that is not our mandate under the Meat Safety Act, but then we are thinking then we need to talk to our colleagues in health and other departments so that we can have a full approach of farm to fork. At the end of the day, you know, the meat is safe until purchased by a consumer. There's a need for better consultation with the industry, and especially on the issue of a true shortfall, because we need them to come on board and say, we, you know, it's costing us 100 million or, you know, 10 million, and therefore we'll be able to calculate a true shortfall. Now, in summary, the workshops and some written inputs seem to favor a combination of government and assignee or service provider. Let's not necessarily call it assignee. The existing system, but then you put government where there's no service, proper service, I may say, but at the same time, each one of those abattoirs that have existing service providers, then you put a government employee there on a full-time basis. Whether it's 3 o'clock in the morning or at night or on Saturday, a government, you know, meat inspector must be there on site to monitor what they're doing. Thank you, honorable members.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. That's the end of the presentation. We went 2 minutes beyond what my panel said. If you can come and sit down.
Members, that is the grouping of the meeting session.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm tasked by the presentation, Chairperson, with regards to safety of meat consumption. those entities which do not go, have not gone through the process of construction, just to guarantee that that means it's safe to continue. This reminds me, Chairperson, of one of the functions in our province where there was a function in the Royal Household where the Department of Agriculture Province wanted by a caretaker for one of the farms. Fortunately, it was a big function in the king's royal residence. They had to go through the process. What then do we do? What is happening to the school? Making sure that all that is solved live to our people of the school. Chairperson, this goes me to the previous experience when one was still a head one. In our cumulative intent, these threats were set weekly during the 15 days where they could treat the animals, where they could draw blood from the animals for testing purposes, so that it would have been easy to detect the delivery. Then the control was in my home was very intensive. What is the department doing, Chairperson, to protect the people? Because it was a people who don't go to the paycheck as a child, and the chicken. Obviously, the safest section of the community is the community. Are the communities that are buying direct from
I'm
raising this issue, because at the moment, it was just also mentioned by my friend here, we are not sure that the department is actually doing all the work that they're supposed to do now. We know there's a shortage of veterinarians. We know there's a shortage of people that need to go to other doctors to check, go to auctions. I've been asking questions about auctions. People take cattle to auctions and sheep and things that got diseases and they get slaughtered. We can't even do that, which we are currently supposed to do. So my concern is, are we taking a bit of a big bite here to get this done without having a proper costing, without even fulfilling what we are currently supposed to do really properly? So are we biting a bit too much of this apple? And then, Chair, I also want to find out about the poll testing. If it was cut as a waiver, I couldn't see if you're going to cover in the whole poultry industry also. Do you have some kind of idea how many poultry must be pulled outside of the cost factor? Do you have some kind of idea how many people are we talking about that need to be on appointed then, Chair, something that we've been discussing in the past for the vegetable and fruit industry. It's a grading system. These big slaughterhouses know that if there's a problem at the abattoir, their reputation will be at play. So I'm sure they make sure that they have the correct inspections, that everything is done in the way that it's supposed to be. And with your first proposal that you were looking into, phasing into it, would it not be better to have some kind of a grading system where I always take the tourism industry as an example? We have 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, whatever. But when you have a 5-star grading, a new inspection, or people can come in there once in a blue moon and do a spot check and come and see if everything is still in place. But if you are a 1-star abattoir, there must be someone there on a permanent basis just to see or oversee what is being happening. Because I'm really concerned, Chair. I want South Africans to know that the meat that they eat is safe. But my concern is really with the capacity of the department at this stage. The cost factor that we are not sure how much it is, we need to know how many people are we talking about, the process of closing it in. So I would have been happy if we could get more information on how this would be phased in. And also, you know, your current situation, we have enough people that's already ready to do that. I think it will take a year or two before we can really phase this thing properly. Thank you, Chair. But my first question is, why are we doing this? Is it because the Act tells us to do it, or is there a real problem out there?
No,
thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. My worry is, I was listening to an interview on Morning Life about poultry, and I asked myself, what else do we eat in this country, in a country that has abject poverty, and we are not in control of abattoirs. The government is not in control. Somebody is controlling from a best or governing the government. Saying that, if I go to slide 6, talking about job stability. Coming to job stability, Chairperson, in the first place, jobs go with a budget and a salary. Of course, yes, there must be a salary. You can't be a volunteer in such an important job, Chairperson. To me, My first point of departure is government must take over this country. We are in trouble as this country. We are playing games, we are not governed. And we are playing games with the poorest of the poor. They don't have money. They don't even have this information at their exposure. They are very disadvantaged. So for us, we really need the department to take their responsibility. It is long overdue. When I come to this slide 7, socio-political risk, I fail to understand what that could mean. What socio-political risks or competing priority areas are there most in lives of people eating meat, horse meat? When I was listening to that interview, really, I was asking myself many questions, but I couldn't answer myself. And I was listening to the department responding to that interview. And then I realized that the department doesn't control this. It's not in control of this. So the turnaround time in government to employ personnel was supposed to happen as in yesterday. I'm poor, so I'm a poor thing in my personal knowledge. Slide 8 is the costing implication. The department was supposed to have long had a study about this, to know about the cost, even having slides to pilot in your rural area, because that is where the problem lies. The rural people who doesn't have the advantage to do things for themselves and the money to do that, because of the social disadvantage of the left behind. Negative cost. So these costs should have been long have information in the department there. Salaries, people need salaries when they have a job to do, and these people are qualified people who do that. If they can in fact meet that is very important skill to do that. Slide 10. Retain existing service providers at high throughout and low throughout other staff. There must be a government employee, but, the department is saying a meat inspector should be on site irrespective of the time of slot. Considering that, the department is struggling to ensure 24-hour surveillance checks of our coastal water. Example is the coastal patrols. Run from Monday to Friday and work from 8 to 5 p.m. Do they have the budget? As we all know, we've got a budget that is not talking to the priorities of this department. Very important department because it's food security. I don't know how to that meat inspectors will be on site at any time. Will they be on site at any time during the slot? Because we are not controlling it. The tail wags the dog. How are we going to do that? Can the department please explain? I'm very worried and confused.
Chairperson, I want to join the chorus which complained about the fact that these documents did not arrive in time. So with that handicap, I would like to make a humble contribution. Firstly, Chairperson, I want to took up the issue some time ago, and very little happened, and thereafter they came back here, they brought legal counsel here, which should not have happened, had we as a department and as a government done our job. Now, Chairperson, when I look at this document, background on meat inspection service in South Africa, and he talks here of the Meat Safety Act, Act number 40 of 2000. And there is a short outline of, a crisp outline of what the Act provides. Amongst the provisions, Chair, it says here that the Act made it the responsibility of the Minister to designate National Executive Officer, NMECs, to designate Provincial Executive Officers. My first question to the team is, were these persons designated? Did it happen? Because this Act is now 13 years old, or call it 12. Did it happen, Chair? The proposals as I see, Chair, yes. I would like to know further, Chair, in the absence of having the Act before me, whether there was any involvement of consumer bodies, or was it just a question of the state shall decide for the people, without the involvement of the people for whom the state exists. It exists for the benefit of people. People are represented by bodies like consumer bodies. Were they in any way involved in this whole setup? Then, Chairperson, it says here that in summary, the Act returned the control of meat inspection services back to the Minister. And once again, Chair, I have to go back to the fact that it was industry that complained about the fact that there is a lack of adequate inspection services. And that, to my mind, gave rise to all this. Although Dr. Molifi has mentioned earlier that they have been working on this since 2008, if I heard him correctly. I'm half deaf, unfortunately. But that's what you said. Now, if you have been working on this since 2008, then I find it very, very strange, Chair, that industry has to come here, had to bring counsel here on two occasions to try and get the department to talk to them and to listen. And then, Chair, I just want to point out on slide, or there's no number yet, but it is this one where the synopsis of the Act was given. And I want to tell the department bluntly, you are a department of state. Your job is to serve the people of the country. Your job is to implement laws, and the object of the implementation of that laws is that it must be to the benefit of the people. We are supposed to be a people-centered developmental state. And that is what you are supposed to be doing. But what do you do here? You say here on the next page, you've got the National Executive Officer in red, and in black here you say, the industry proposal seemed to suggest that only an assignee must render meat inspection. This is devoid of substance and truth, and is most regrettable. Chairperson, I repeat, this is devoid of substance and truth, and is most regrettable. Now, Chairperson, let me make it clear to the department that if there is no industry, if there is nobody that creates the raw material, you won't have a job. And yet, the people who are supposed to be your partners, the industry, I've already spoken about. attempts to take role players along with him. And I would not like to read Jefferson, a department telling an important role player, I know to whom you are referring, an important role player which represents the thousands of farmers in the stock industry that makes it possible for you to be able to come and talk here to me. And you are telling these people, "Ach, you listen from Skellum to the Lich." There's no substance in what you are telling us. Jefferson, I take strong exception to that. That a State Department must come along here and make a statement like this. If you don't know the art of diplomacy, how to win friends and influence people, and unfortunately, Chair, I hold out little promise for whatever else you are suggesting here. Now, Jefferson, I would further like to know whether the department had consulted those role players that had complained here initially on the suggestions that you are putting forward here. I realize that you went around the country, that's what you say, that you met many role players. But I would like to know whether those people that took the trouble to come all the way to Cape Town with council, as you had gone back to them and tell them that, guys, this is what we believe the road forward should be, the road ahead should be. I want to warn the department that if you are going to be prescriptive in the laws that you want to make, then you have lost before you start. Because if you are not able to take role players along with you, then you are at the wrong end. Now, Chairperson, as far as what we read in the papers, what we see happening also internationally, is concerned, it is said here, Chair, in one of these current meat inspection service in South Africa, and you list a couple of challenges. Now, Chairperson, when you say here, for example, other than concerns over labor practices, the current system should be working very well if it was not being sabotaged by devious abattoir owners. Now, Chairperson, well, you know, to me, I grew up in a Boer environment. A devious person is a very skelm, it's a skermunko. Now, if there are such people in the abattoir industry, those that are running abattoirs, what have you done to bring them to book? We have a plethora of laws in our country to deal with such people. And what I'm asking for, Chair, is I'm asking for a list of those that you consider to be skelms and skermunkos, and to tell us what action did you take to see that those people go by the book and that they carry out the laws of the land, because we're dealing here with food security, food safety. If there are such people, they must be weeded out. You cannot still have them operating abattoirs there when they are being dishonest, according to you, according to what you say here as a department. Chairperson, they say here that there are reports and evidence of some abattoirs putting pressure on meat inspectors who are authorized persons to pass products of questionable and of poor quality. My question is, what have you done about it? Can you show us a list of those that you had apprehended, that you had brought charges against? Because it is important, if you want total control of meat inspection services in the country, you want government to do it. And let us be very honest to acknowledge. Let us be absolutely truthful to acknowledge that we have failed our people over the past so many years. That is why we are seated here today. we want Kindle control? Have we got the wherewithal to be able to exercise this control? Because here you make statements about certain things that have gone wrong. The 2000 Act, I want to remind you, gives government or the minister in charge numerous powers. Why have those powers not been exercised? Now, if you come here and say that we've got a new amendment to the Meat Safety Act, the first question I will ask you, why do you need the amendment? What did not work in the previous act? And yet I already see that there will be flaws in your argument, because you have not implemented the old act, because you are complaining about the fact that, for example, although government visits abattoirs at regular intervals, my question to you is, how regular is that regular? Once a week, once a month, once a year, once in 5 years, only once since the last act was promulgated? Tell us. Then you say there is no full-time presence of government officials at all times. Now, if you want an immediate short-term improvement in the current situation, why don't you tell us that we are going to see to it that as from now, ABC will be done. Don't wait for an act to be passed. Your current laws must be provided. You are not, we are not operating in a vacuum. And that I don't see. Chairperson, year we hear government capacity to provide oversight is limited in certain provinces.
That's your last one.
Due to human resource capacity and financial resource challenges. Again, Chairperson, I ask, if that oversight capacity is limited, and you already have a law which says that provinces, the ABC shall appoint the necessary people. There is tells me something. And that is that you have failed. You have failed to see that the current laws are adequately implemented and adequately carried out. So give us an understanding of what are these human resource capacities and financial resource challenges that you are talking about. I have never heard, Chairperson, the department when it comes here annually to report on their performance, quarterly or annual or whatever. I have never, in about 12 years that I'm sitting on this committee, ever heard anyone saying here that these are the problems that we have in order to provide the required oversight. So in short, Chairperson, I am asking that you are asking for a new piece of legislation. You are asking for massive resources to be pumped in. What I am asking is, with what you had up to now, why were you not able to at least implement the provisions of the 2000 Act? And tell us that this is what we tried to do and these were the reasons why it did not work. I have no faith, Chair, that having passed new legislation and making available millions of rands, that there's going to be any improvement, that there's going to be any change. Because this Act already gave us so much power that we have not exercised that power. And Chairperson, we must be very careful. At each time, when we fail to do something, come on, let's change the law. We are sitting with so many laws in our statute books, we haven't tested them to see whether they all are carrying out their function or not. If you have some shortcomings, any law, Chairperson, cannot be cast in granite. It will have to be amended as and when you find shortcomings in its implementation. Since, I don't know when, 2000, we haven't had a single proposal, Chair, that this particular provision is giving us trouble. We will have to amend it. And we would have done so gladly, Chair.
In Port Elizabeth is a place called Kwasi. Every bed makes you get everything that you can say that can destroy out, you get it. And teacher, you know what Kwasi get cheap food. I didn't understand why. And I think I understand today. Why? I think I understand why our people are dying of the disease they die. I think I understand of the problem of obesity and so on and so on, affecting our nation. I think those things I understand them well. I think let me again say, I think this department needs to, it's a state of emergency. And I believe that it's unfortunate that the cabinet and the head of state is not aware. I think that's where the problem is. I think the minister responsible does not care. I think Minister Chinat Jumaat, she doesn't understand what she wants to do. And I didn't want to fight, I didn't want to talk about this thing. But Chair, in a revolution, a nation that cannot nurture its revolution is a danger. A government that does not care about its people is in danger. Now, I'm not talking about party politics here, but as a revolutionary myself, and I believe that there is a problem, a national crisis in terms of food production in this country. There's a national crisis that we don't want to agree. Let me tell you about someone. If place wants to take action, it doesn't take even 2 weeks for us to change the legislation. Late demand. Even if it's a right legislation or not, it will come with something. But I think it's a political oversight that is lacking in this department. And a person who's supposed to take agent things and make agent things, she does not care. If we can reach a declared level, Mr. Abrams puts that there is an act in operation and we believe that it has not been utilized effectively. And officials, you see, if you chief, you see a doctor, in your page, there's a page here where you admit the limitations that we have. You are accepting more failure. But you're saying it's a very nice English way. That's what you're admitting of failing the nation ourselves. That's what you have said. And to me, I'm very sure that the problems we have, what the Honorable Minister was talking about, Nama also, I see these things every day. In Springbok, you see chicken there, very big, big black chicken. And our people, they like these things because they are affordable. And to me, you are telling me that these things, they get into the market and to our people because of our inability to manage. In another country, all of you are thinking from Mr. Dombela to Minister Tina, everybody would have been arrested. All of you arrested Minister Tina Jomas, then the director said everybody, because you are killing the nation. You are killing our people, you are killing our children. You are killing the poor. Because all of us, we might be staying in Centurion and so on. Those who stay in Guazakele, Soweto, they are the immediate victims of this lack of seriousness from a minister and a government and officials who do not know what priorities are. I think, Mr. Abraham, I agree with you. This is a national crisis. And I think we are so polite that minister things like this in other committees. So, and you ask, why have we let this thing to go so long and we have not given attention?
When we asked in the State of the Nation budget speech last year about why this has not been given attention, she took it so lightly. But this is where, and I think there's a problem. The second thing I wanted to check is that who constitutes this working group? Maybe we must start there. Because I think if I understand a working group, its responsibility is supposed also to deal with immediate, with urgent on some of these issues. Are partners, like industry partners and everybody involved, like stakeholders, who are these people? How long have they been a working group? Because a working group is not for 20 years. The working group, in my understanding now, is for it to intervene in a shorter period of time, provide recommendation, come with solutions. And I think I agree with the sentiment that if the working group continue to use this kind of language, it's not going to provide a solution. Maybe we have to change. You can't even use language to fight with the stakeholders you want to fight with. You're not providing a solution. People who always use language like this, are people who want to shift responsibility and give it to other people. I don't know, Doctor, whether the intervention we've made, are you trying to tell us now that we, because even this recommendation, I can't even understand. Chair, if you came to the final proposal, I don't understand what this means. Is this the only solution I would to intervene? Because if you are telling us that you are coming closer now with industry and stakeholders and trying to find a solution, I can't get that from what you are presenting. Therefore, you must inform us whether really are you finding a solution. The other question is the issue of qualification. We talk about qualification, still people. For a right person or candidate to do this duty as a department, what do you expect this inspector qualification to be, and what kind of a qualification is that? I assume that the act that we passed last year on race was another form to try and intervene to this problem when it introduced compulsory service and so on. Was that the intention of trying to come and intervene and provide a solution? Lastly, Chairperson, I think we must be harsh. I think we need an urgent national meeting. If the president was sitting in a standing committee, I would invite the president to come and sit here in a standing committee and answer. Because South Africa must know that we have a national crisis in this department. And I think that it's time now that if Senator Mbowu will whip Minister Chinathema.
Mama, please, Mama.
The Chairperson, thank you. Some questions already my colleagues have done with them, but I have some little input. Chairperson, I want to start with this comment. When you read outside public consultation on municipal section, and down it has in I believe, I don't condemn this meeting. I believe everything has a starting point. Maybe later on you will hear from them. And what I like about this group is that they make things such with more than 50 countries concerning this issue we are talking about. And they found out that this country, the government is in control of that country. It's what I like. I like that very much. Because I don't know what happened when our government is taking this very important issue out of their hands and going to, I don't know what happened, because we are not there yet. But if we were there, some of us would know. Let the government be involved. Because Chairperson, you know, nothing was done. I like to take my time when I buy wood. And I will be, you know, slowly checking on the as I spread luck that is, I come across another pet that we have a name. And the discussion on TV concerning the water sports, then I have been listening to them. But what I know is that in South Africa, there are parts of people who consume that, but not all of us. But my question is, this country which we are making with them, taking meat from them, we are not even sure. Because other countries like China, they eat pets, they eat what, they eat this and this, we don't know. But at least in their countries, the government is involved. They know what they are doing. And as we are speaking in South Africa, really, we don't know what we are eating anymore, especially from the meat. On page 4, the options which were raised there, I agree. Since I said I agree with this group, because everything has a starting point, I agree with them. And again, on page 6, the first bulletin there, it says government, full government control of the institution, this is the country, across the country, including, across the country, including all these nine provinces. Chairperson, is very important. It's very important. Since you can see, even though I'm not saying it's only me, you can see our girls, how they look like, most of them. I don't know what is the reason. Really, I don't know. Or is this food we are eating today, or some of this meat, I don't know. See, they are so punchy, you know, I don't know when they reach my age, how we. And again, the last two bulletins is that government will be able to support our squad in rural communities, and this will be given as much attention as high end. Now I agree with them. Maybe this is the remedy and the responsibility raised by the government. Because even Mafumo, even the term, who should do this? On page 8, the agenda is on page 3. Chairperson, there they talk about the salaries. If this issue was in the hands of government, the salary issue is actually a problem. Because at this level, they will know that these people who are controlling the vectors of avatar, they fall under the control. It won't be a problem if this thing was controlled by government. And lastly, 8, 9, I have some even the provinces were there. The recommendations from the provinces were of the view that the current city does not work in its present form, and that government, in whatever form, was best suited to provide unique education that can be put to that. I like that. I think that's why. Even if I was a man with you, you would have shared a man that you should. And another input, those who want to support, in a number of input, industry stakeholders seem to suggest that a complete government takeover is not acceptable, but it is a new way government to make a strong presence such as in phase one. Why they just run into this? No. Leaders, we want to be alone, you know, they don't recommend what is the group is saying, that these government officials must be in fact this thing. And it's like they are not comfortable with this. Why are they not comfortable? And lastly, the rural and small upper-class present in the even our people, I'm from the rural, it doesn't matter where I'm seeing it now, but my group, I'm from the rural. You know, in the rural area, they just slaughter and eat. They just slaughter and eat. They are in looking at all the animal diseases which are on the country, just imagine when they just lost a the risk of the community. Chairperson, thank you, not just the purpose of this group, the purpose. Because it must be somewhere where the government should start, and somewhere where they should end. If this group is not there, even if it's not about phase one, not knowing what to do. I support this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll be very brief. Maybe like Mama was speaking before me, I need to make mention of the fact that I also come from the rural area. Physically, my body may be here, but my heart is always in the rural area, especially if we talk development, because people in the rural areas are always the last to receive service delivery. I'm therefore gratified when I learn from this presentation that government will be able to support abattoirs in rural communities, and these will be given as much attention as high and low throughput abattoirs. When I read this, I am happy, but at the same time, I need to be educated. What kind of support is going to be provided by government? Because the statement as it stands now is meaningless. What will actually happen in the rural areas? As Mama before me and also in Nkosi Tlebekulu before me pointed out, that our stock there is never, ever inspected. Whether you are selling chicken, whether you are selling meat, To be precise, I come from Uganda. That is where the president of the country comes from. And you travel from Uganda for more than 100 kilometers to the east. And you will then come across the first abattoir in Mpangi. You travel to the north. For more than 100 kilometers, you will come across a abattoir in Dundee. The next one in Newcastle. So that is the state of affairs. So we are very much interested in what kind of support will be provided. Sometimes you try to help the communities there who are poultry farmers to say if they can get an abattoir. But then the extension officers will tell you that, well, it will depend on whether it is self-supporting. Usually we don't even know how many chickens will make it, this industry self-supporting in this kind of a work area. But usually I told that no, the kind of farming that is going on here cannot support an abattoir. So okay. I also agree, Chair, with the colleagues before me who say that this aspect of this industry is in the crisis. We are told in the presentation today that it was before 1994 when a decision was taken that removed meat inspection from government and privatized. In the 90s, it proved, privatization proved to be a complete or a dismal failure. Then by 2000, a law was enacted which took it away from the private hand. Now, 12 years thereafter, we are still debating on how to do it. In spite of the Act, all those processes that continued before the Act was passed are still continuing. Some are doing it privately, some are supporting us signing, some are doing it this way, some are not doing it at all after 12 years. So when we are given this as the way forward, the question is, when is the implementation date? Thank you.
Professor,
could you
close? The damages are already in place. The question also one would have had is, before 2011, well, what has been the situation? And also the relationship with your health department. You would have had the inspectors that would do random checks in retail stores. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was in your health inspector. So whether any relationship exists between the two, which is another challenge. Everybody is doing this to have part. Whether we are able to pull together in one direction. I think those are the major questions raised. And of course, we might have come back depending on the responses that we have. So Tamulisa did mention that there are other colleagues. They come from Department of Agriculture, from the Mpopo, Eastern Cape, Free State, Northwest, KZN, Southern, and also from Western Cape. So if we have some of them from DAF, welcome. Those are the few questions that I said on an issue or solid state issue that we're dealing with here. We have indicated earlier on that there is a tier of time.
Thank you.